Coming up on this week of Nerd vs. Noob.
Just a quick question here, guys. Would you celebrate International Women's Day with Marina Baccarin in the same way that she does it in the movie?
Deadpool appears to be one of the tightest characters in all the Marvel movies.
Word.
How would you get him to pay?
Best first film of any comic book series, yes or no?
What childhood toy would you ask for to impress a hooker?
So, we're going to throw it out to you guys, let you guys get a bit creative. What does Deadpool look like?
Now, let's hit the theme.
Movie reveals in 20 cues, asking the question no one will normally do. There's nerds, there's news, and now there's you.
Good people, welcome to Nerd vs. Noob, Movie Reviews and 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I am your co-host, Sam Hurley, and I am joined this week by a fellow star, Mr. Spanky. How are you, Spanky?
Fantastic, thank you.
That's awesome. We're a little bit drunk on this one, guys. And I'm also joined by Machu. How are you, bro?
I'm good. I'm feeling pretty good. Spanky's heading off overseas, so we're going to send him off with a decent show today, hopefully.
Yeah, we're losing one of the nerds.
Yeah, but we pre-recorded enough so that it'll hardly be a bump in the road.
I'll be amazed if anyone's actually going to miss you, Spanky, but...
I'll miss you, bro.
Apart from your mum.
Yeah. Zing! So, anyway, this episode is Deadpool. This is a fan request by Mr. Phil Joinson. We're going to chink our drinks and say cheers, cheers, Phil.
Cheers all.
Cheers, cheers.
Phil's actually suggested a question for this one, which will come up in my set of questionings. But the plot of the movie. Hit us with the plot of the movie, one of you.
Wade Wilson is a former Special Forces operative who works as a mercenary. His world comes crashing down when evil scientist Ajax tortures, disfigures, and transforms him into Deadpool. The rogue experiment leaves Deadpool with accelerated healing powers and a twisted sense of humor. With help from mutant allies Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Deadpool uses his new skills to hunt down the man who nearly destroyed his life.
Machu, a square out of 10,000, what would you give it?
7,920. I thought it was a really good movie. I probably wouldn't go see it at the movies again, and it doesn't really register on my all-time favorites.
Interesting. What about you, Spanky?
I'd give it 8,554 on the basis that, yeah, I would go and see it again at the movies. And yeah, it probably almost ranks up there on my list of all-time favorites.
It was one of my favorite films of last year. We've just done Hunt for the Water People. I wouldn't put up the same level as Hunt for the Water People. I'd give it 8,942.
Whoa!
Jeez. Yeah. Mangasm.
One of my favorite films of the year. But as anyone who's been following this podcast, these scores really mean fucking nothing. I mean, they change from podcast to podcast. I can't even remember what I got with Doctor Strange or Captain Marvel. Oh, I can't remember any of them. Anywho, IMDb have it rated at 8.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes have given it 84%. Metacritic has it at 65%. Metacritic again diving off at the end there. Anywho, we're going to move into these questions. Okay, we're going to rag on each other here a little bit. Come up with a superhero or supervillain name for each of the other two guys in this podcast.
I'll kick off here because everyone sort of wants to go last and really, really zing the next person.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll give you guys a chance here. So, Spanky, you're obviously a villain. and the villain name I came up with was I call it the Wedding Crasher. So he is basically a criminal mastermind with evil plans that include letting off handbrakes and sending vehicles crashing into wedding marquees or tents. And also, you know, he's slightly less destructive, but equally as sinister acts such as abusing the speech maker at the time or locking people in cupboards.
Oh, that's good.
And Sam, I'm going to go with Leg Day Man for your endless bragging of your impressive lower body strength. Gained from obviously a well-balanced workout. And your superpower is protecting all men from chicken legs by reminding them it's actually leg day. But of course, since the invention of pottery has and then man has gone on to make the calendar, it's largely rendered your superpower useless. But you can still encounter Leg Man and Dark Corners at parties, reminding you to, or anyone that will listen, to work on their lower body by showing photos of himself lifting 500 kgs on the leg press machine.
Guilty as charged.
All right, so I've got Machu here as the Manga Tapu Maula, which is his obviously super villain. Man, who knows what the Manga Tapu Maula gets up to around Manga Tapu during the evening time, but one would imagine that he'd turn up on Crime Watch.
Yeah, just a hell of a lot of prowling, to be completely honest.
A couple of signature Sam things are both the beard and the back hair. We're going with the bearded hedgehog.
Isn't that Ron Jeremy's?
The bearded hedgehog is probably the lesser known superhero. Maybe he stays back at the house, like, you know, I don't know, like making sure that the KFC's okay.
Maybe Sonic the Hedgehog's like best mate or something. Hey?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. So the bearded hedgehog.
So Sam, you're two superheroes there.
Yeah, wicked. So I'm going to start with Spanky, who's sitting right here to my left. If there's one thing Spanky knows how to do, that's how to get Maggot. And Spanky's favourite game, or one of his favourite games as a child, was Mega Man X. So I'm combining the two to make Mega Maggot X. Oh, sorry, I'll point out that Spanky is a villain, by the way. He's the guy that shows up at your party, drinks all your piss, and then...
abuses your wedding guests.
Yeah, abuses your wedding guests.
Sends a car careering into your marquee tent.
Yeah. All right, Macho, I'm going to go with a superhero for you, bro. And I'm going to combine your ability to be late to everything with your favourite Transformer, Rodimus Prime, and I'm going to call you Procrastinator Prime. And your superhero power is to single-handedly ruin a franchise and also show up an hour and a half after everybody's like lost relevance.
Yeah, fair enough. I was supposed to be here at 6 today and I turned up at 7:30, so yeah, it's fairly relevant.
That moves us on to my first set of three questions. Deadpool killed it. Really hilarious. Well done, Ryan Reynolds. A lot of other funny supporting characters in this. Who do you guys reckon was the funniest supporting character?
Yeah, I'll jump in here because to me, there's only really one funny supporting character. And that's just my opinion. But TJ Miller, old Ehrlich Bachman from Silicon Valley, is just an absolute legend. He's easily the funniest. And he made the movie for me. He's selfish. He's brutally honest. He's got such a dry take on everything, and he gets all the best lines, like comments to when he first sees Deadpool, like saying he looks like an avocado fucked an olden avocado, not gently. It was kind of like they were hate fucking, like something was wrong with the relationship, and the only catharsis that they could find without violence was was the hate fucking avocados.
I want to put it out there, he's gently comic relief, but Dupinda.
Yeah.
You know, because he's just so chill and he's like, kill him.
Yeah. Moves us on to my second question. In the film, Marina Baccarin's character celebrates International Women's Day by strapping one on and dishing out what she sometimes gets, so... Just a quick question here, guys. Would you celebrate International Women's Day with Marina Baccarin in the same way that she does it in the movie?
Yes. Yes. As long as, one stipulation, I can celebrate the rest of the days of the year with her as well.
Yeah. Look, I got to admit, I'm going to say maybe. If she's coming at me on the first date saying it's Ladies' Day and this is how shit goes, then, you know, it's going to be an emphatic no. But, you know, if we've been doing some kinky stuff, we've been together for a while. I mean, like Chinese New Year, we spent with a couple of Chinese acrobats. St. Pat's Day, we've had a little leprechaun in the room. King's Day in Holland, we had a golden... Waitangi Day, we acted out a Jake and Bess thing. You know, like when it comes to Ladies' Day, yeah, you know, it's ladies' choice, to be fair. And, you know, after a bit of a while, I could see my arm being twisted.
Yeah, I mean, as the saying goes, like... You can only give it if you can take it. So, moving me on to my next question, and this one comes courtesy of Phil Joynson, who we're dedicating this podcast to. Phil is an Aussie that lives over in England, really good mate of mine. He's also got some very witty banter, and it's awesome that he came up with this one. Basically, Ryan Reynolds has also got a ton of witty banter. He's very funny. He did the role very well. Who would you pick out of anyone famous to battle Ryan Reynolds in like a roast battle. It's like a rap battle, but insulting each other. Who would you choose?
My mind's cast back to the early 90s, and I'm thinking of a specific rapper who has a bit of banter going on, and that man, his name is Flavor Flav. Flavor Flav, you've got a rip in your couch. Wash your butt. You know what I mean?
Flavor, your mama's got gold nipples.
Your mama's got gold nipples. I mean, who can top that shit?
That's a great one. I think the only one that can go toe to toe with Ryan Reynolds in that the one liner race is probably Jimmy Carr. Jimmy Carr, to me, he's the king of one liners. He's a bit of a comedic genius, and I think he'll go toe to toe with him quite comfortably.
I like the Jimmy Carr because he never looks like he's shook. You know what I mean? Like nothing shakes him. Like he's a good one.
He'll go right to the bottom of the toilet, that fella. And so will Ryan Reynolds. So
I'm gonna throw this out there. Phil's answer to this. Well, Phil's Australian. I'm not surprised he picked another Australian. His one was Jim Jefferies. Sweet. Anyway, that moves us on to Spanky for his first set of three questions.
Okay, so Deadpool has supporting character, Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Use another song title to name a superhero.
Okay, I'm going to go with Hawaii's most favourite export at the moment, which is Bruno Mars, and I'm going to go with the song Uptown Funk. And before you guys go, why the fuck is that? It's because when Uptown Funk shows up, Uptown Funk going to give it to you. And I suppose the other good thing about Uptown Funk is, like, if anyone's standing around like, he can't do shit, Uptown Funk will look at them and go, don't believe me, just watch.
Yeah.
What about you, Machu?
I think I'm going to go with Jumping Jack Flash from the Rolling Stones. Great name for a superhero, Jumping Jack Flash. I don't know what he really does. He was raised by a toothless bearded hag, and he was schooled with a strap across his back. But hey, you know, that's the making of a superhero in my mind.
He was also born in a crossfire hurricane.
and he howled at the morning driving rain. Don't forget that.
That's true. Love that song.
Another big thing about this movie is that it's all Ryan Reynolds. It was a labor of love for Ryan. But imagine it's not Ryan Reynolds. Recast Deadpool.
Yeah, I think this role was just made for Ryan Reynolds, and everyone thinks that. But the thing I didn't like about Ryan Reynolds being cast in this role is I didn't think he really nailed the bad guy part of it. He's such a good guy. It looks like he's come straight out of a prep school, I think. Someone maybe, I don't know if he'd be better in the role, but I thought Sam Rockwell. So he plays a sort of good guy, bad guy, villain, and a lot better. And he's all kinds of crazy. And most of the movies, he's kind of singing and dancing and killing and that type of thing, like in Mr. Right. So I think Sam Rockwell would be the one if I had to recast anyone.
Okay, bear with me here, guys. In the comic books, there's a character called Gwenpool, and she's an amalgamation of Gwen Stacy and Deadpool. So when I saw this question, I immediately hearkened back to the movie and thought, Keira Knightley, she's got range. Boom, there we go.
So Ajax, not the most memorable villain. So better cleaning product or bad guy?
Look, this guy is an idiot. Like, he can't feel anything, but he doesn't wear any armor. He doesn't protect himself at all. Like, all his boys that he's got running around with him wearing armor and shit like that. If you can't feel anything, then you're susceptible to fucking everything. Like, if you get stabbed in the heart, chest, whatever, you don't even know you're in pain. So you're rolling around and then, holy shit, my heart stopped. You know what I mean? Like, this guy's an idiot. Use him to mop up a crime scene. He's useless.
I agree with Sam. I think Ajax is a better cleaning product than he was a bad guy. Because if you have a mess on the floor, you get Ajax out and there's no better way to clean that up. Whereas Francis, if there's a job done, he's more likely to make a mess, let your whole factory burn down. You know, he's just constantly, he's constantly doing shit. Well, who the fuck is Ajax? Like, is he the bad guy? He's not. He's just or is he just another henchman?
Yeah, he's just another dude working for the company, really, isn't he?
Yeah. Why is he this mega bad guy? What's his motivation? Like,
to be honest, I thought the guy that roped him in, you know, the guy that met him in the bar, that like Agent Smith sort of looking dude, I actually thought he was like the head bad guy. When he got killed early on in the movie, I was like, what?
Like, who is this real bad guy? Like, Ajax, he's just a cog in the wheel. He's basically just a really strong henchman.
Sweet. So that Spanky's done. Machu, your set of three questions.
Okay, so is Deadpool X-Men's greatest anti-hero? And does he live up to his bad guy image?
It's arguable. X-Men is actually full of anti-heroes. One could argue for Wolverine as anti-hero character. One could argue for Magneto as an anti-hero character. So as a two-part question, is he the greatest anti-hero? No. Does he live up to his bad guy image? In this movie, he's a little too likable to be a real bad guy. So,
I mean, my favorite anti-hero in the X-Men comics was Gambit. Like, I used to love him when I was a child. It wasn't until I got older that I realized the guy's a massive fucking sex pest. Like, he's just this creepy boy.
High five, Gambit.
Yeah,
he's the Spanky of comic books.
Yeah. So I went back on it, and, like, Wolverine's awesome, but fuck, too many people love Wolverine. Look, Deadpool's great. Like, Deadpool is an awesome anti-hero. He's your wisecracking anti-hero. Oh, I'm just going to edge out and go against Spanky here and say, yes, he is one of the X-Men's greatest anti-heroes. And I'll agree with you. He doesn't live up to his bad guy reputation. Like, we get that bit at the end where Colossus starts giving that speech. Fuck that. The real Deadpool, the real bad guy Deadpool, wouldn't let Colossus give that speech. He would have blown that guy's head off within seconds.
The problem with it was he keeps reminding everyone, I'm not a good guy, I'm a bad guy. Where, how the fuck are you a bad guy?
Yeah, how the fuck? It's like the person that says, I'm not a racist, but it's like, no, you are.
Okay, so Deadpool appears to be one of the tightest characters in all the Marvel movies.
Word.
You know, he doesn't pay for taxis. He only shouts with other people's credit cards at the bar. So if you were having rounds of beers with him, how would you get him to pay?
That's pretty easy. It seems as though it's all in the name, Deadpool. He's a gambler. You got to gamble with this man. You got to, like, fucking roll the dice. You got to lay down a bet that this man can't win. You know, it's like, I bet I have a smaller cock than you, or something to that effect. 9 times out of 10, I fucking win that shit. So I'm saying you need to gamble with this guy. He's got a bit of a gambling streak in him.
I'm going to go with using his logic against him. I reckon you sit down and you say to the barman, look, we're going to set up a tab. Sweet. Barman sets up a tab. And then as you go on, you get to the end of the night, and then he goes, look, you're going to pay for this. And you're going to go, look, I don't really have pockets or carry a wallet around with me, so how about a crisp high five?
I've got a mate that he's like this as well, and what he does,
Lance.
His name is I won't name him, Luke Lindsay. His classic move is to take about as many people as he can to the bar, and then what he does is he'll order the most expensive drink. Quite often it's his favorite drink, which is a double bourbon and coke, for at least 8 to 10 people. And then when it comes time to pay, he normally brings out his library card, tries to scan it through the machine, and there's always one person in the line that pays. Yeah. So what we've been doing lately...
Oh, bros, I forgot my card.
Yeah, exactly. So what we've been doing lately is we've been getting him to go outside. We make him pay a busker, like $5 to borrow his guitar, and make him sit there and get some money so he can pay for his fucking round. And I reckon that's what you got to do with Deadpool. It's got a bit of tough love.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
So, I guess my next question is, Deadpool likes to pleasure himself wearing Crocs and holding a unicorn. Can you think of a better attire or object to assist with when you're pleasuring yourself?
If you don't know about me, I'm play lacrosse.
Serial masturbator.
I play lacrosse from time to time. So, lacrosse helmet and my favorite Lego X-Wing.
Basically, I can think of many a different thing that I'd prefer over a unicorn and a set of Crocs. The first thing that sprung to mind pretty much was an industrial-sized tub of Vaseline and a pillow. Stacey's looking on in pure disgust.
Jeez, she's not going to touch that pillow or industrial-sized Vaseline again.
Awesome, so moves back onto my questions. So basically in this movie, Deadpool gets super-healing mutant powers, but he also goes butt-bloody ugly. What superhero power or what superpower would you guys want in exchange for looking really ugly, looking like an avocado had sex with an older avocado?
Well, I'm gonna go for super confidence, because you know what girls love above looks? It's confidence. So so I'm gonna be like, bitches, look at this, I'm amazing. And I'll say bitches because I'm that confident that then they're gonna overlook the fact that I just said bitches,
the misogyny,
the blatant misogyny, and just think, look how fucking confident this guy is with his misogynist remarks. And he's got he just exudes so much confidence, I'm going to look straight past the fact that I look like a fucking gutted out elephant.
Jessica Jones, the man in purple, and the gift that is suggestion. Doesn't matter what you look like if you can suggest to girls that I'm the best looking guy that you've ever seen.
Melee gone for the rapier.
Oh my lord. And just like, maybe you want to give me all your money, you know? Maybe it's your turn to pay for dinner.
Maybe so. You're coming home with me in a bag of your head.
Riding in the boot of a car.
Haters.
Awesome, cool. So this week, guys, the list of movies nominated for an Oscar came out. Do you guys reckon Deadpool deserves to be nominated for an Oscar?
Nah, he needed a bit more well-rounded comedic performance than relying on the same sort of teen, your mama type jokes. It was the same delivery every time. And this is probably why I didn't rate it above 8.
No, again, it'd be precedent setting. As fantastic as Deadpool is, it's not going to break enough ground or cross enough boundaries to make it Academy worthy.
Cool, so that moves me on to my final question. There's a lot of foul-mouthed individuals in this movie, but yeah, what character from this movie would you like to give a speech at your wedding?
Oh, it's pretty easy, really. He's the man with the only amount of honour in the whole film, and it's Colossus. He just seems to be, he's got like these massive rhetoric of speeches in him, you know, like.
I actually completely disagree with Colossus. It definitely wouldn't yeah, be Colossus. Be he's so uptight. Wade Wilson's also way too brutal. So I'm going to go with the recruiter. How appropriate, just as your life is about to end, that someone who looks like a pallbearer gives a speech.
Fair enough. Yeah, yeah. Cool, so that moves us on to Spanky.
Ryan Reynolds puts Brand Hildebrand's character in a box. He says to her, mean comment, sullen silence. Nails her two go-to moves. What are your go-to moves?
My one's basically the and then the tune out. That's my one of just like dismissing people or whatever like she's trying to do. Basically just sort of agreeing with them and then just giving this far off look like I'm in another fucking planet when really I'm just like, oh, just shut up.
For me, it's always the mean comment. And when you get drunk, it gets worse. Like, you know, like I'll throw a few out now. So Spanky, you're so ugly. Last time you walked into a bank, they turned the cameras off. And Sam, your show is so lame. Last time I went to listen to an episode, I decided to ring a telemarketer instead. Yes, oh yeah. Judging by that,
obviously.
We're just going to have a quick interlude while me and Spanky beat the shit out of Machu.
Right, okay, so simple yes-no question for my next one. Best first film of any comic book series? Yes or no? There's been a few.
Yeah, I mean, look, the original Spider-Man trilogy was kind of special. The first one was pretty good. The first X-Men movie was pretty good. Iron Man spawned an entire universe. But we're looking at a certain set, and I'm going to go with Batman Begins. I think Batman Begins tops Deadpool because, like, Deadpool had to overcome the fact that they'd completely ruined Deadpool and Wolverine Origins. But Batman Begins had to overcome one of the worst comic book movies in history. I'm talking about George Clooney Batman, I'm talking about bat nipples, I'm talking about Uma Thurman, I'm talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Don't talk about Uma like that.
No, this was like the most abysmal Batman movie ever. And Batman Begins, Christopher Nolan knocked it out of the park, established himself as a great director.
I'm going to go with Sam as well and say no, it's not the best. The best one is a Batman, but it's not Batman Begins. It's the very first Batman with Michael Keaton. Yeah. It's Michael Keaton, mate. Like, got shit. It got real terrible when Val Kilmer and George Clooney came along. But the very first Batman, Jack Nicholson, that was just epic. This is sad to say, at 35 years old, I've still got all my Batman cards, Batman 1 and Batman 2.
Nice to have them.
Well, probably wasn't expecting that as a firm Marvel guy, but wow, okay, couple of DC movies in there. In Ryan Reynolds, or Deadpool's own words, it was like the studio couldn't afford any more X-Men because you only ever see two X-Men, Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Would the film have been better with any other X-Men included?
Nah. Look, part of this charm of this movie is it was a stripped-down version of the superhero movie. And like they alluded to the fact they didn't have any money and all that sort of stuff. And that's made it as awesome as it was. The director said, I only want to make a $50 to $60 million movie. And he did well with that. Plus, you've got the sullen, dark character in Negasonic Teenage Warhead. You've got the straight man character in Colossus. And you've got the wisecracking, absurd character in Deadpool. Like, it was perfect. It flowed together well. Any more characters would have required more introduction and more like, who are they?
Yeah, I disagree. I think yes. And I think the one character they were missing, and look, I don't think it would be, you know, a full movie. It's really just a cameo sort of role, and that would have been Wolverine. Hey, imagine, like they had, you know, he was featured so much throughout the movie. Even at the very end in the shorts, it would have been great to see Deadpool pull a prank on Wolverine, because you could have seen a scene where Deadpool goes into Hugh Jackman's room and just shaves him from head to toe, and then you have a bald Wolverine, and that's like a bit of revenge for Deadpool. All right, so I think it's back to me.
Yep.
So who would you have your money on in the Deadpool out of the characters that survived during the movie?
Easy. Negasonic Teenage Warhead. Anyone who fucking is tweeting right before the main battle, there's like at least 30 odd guys pointing guns at them.
See, legit, that was my answer. It's other obvious answer is basically Colossus. I mean, come on, the guy's a metal bloody man that, I mean, we see him getting half strangled at one point, but look, the dude is practically invincible. Like, none of Deadpool's bullets or swords is going to cut him. Like,
I just can't understand why Colossus and them didn't step in and say, oh, you got to let that guy out of your car. They pretty much, they pretty much sent him to death.
Yeah. It's funny because they went from being these guys on the bridge that were like, come on, Deadpool, you need to be a hero. You're coming with us. Into, oh, no, we'll come help you kill this dude. Yeah, sweet ass.
Yeah, it's 4 or 5 moments, Deadpool, but Dipinda, yeah, do whatever you want with this fella in your boot.
Yeah, who cares, yeah.
So, if you won as many tickets from Balls and Holes as Wade Wilson, what childhood toy would you ask for to impress a hooker?
Look, I'm going to go with the He-Man sword. When I was 5 years old, I had a He-Man sword and scabbard, and I used to pull that out. And I used to point it to the sky and say, by the power of Grayskull, I have the power.
That is fucking awesome.
Like, yeah. And look, I'm telling you.
We need to find the He-Man sword tonight, and you need to practice that in the bedroom.
And look, I'm telling you, I don't know that much about women, but if you pull a sword out of your back and say, I have the power, then that chick is immediately going to want to have sex with you.
But you need to dress up Spanky as Battle Cat and ride on the back of him.
Fuck
into
off.
The.
I'm Prince Adam of Eternia, you bitches.
No, he's what, Orko? No, he's Man-at-Arms? Leela, where would you be, bro? What was the most useless He-Man character? Fuck you, you're the one that looks like Ram
Man. He's the guy with
the key.
You're
the one that looks
like
Ram Man.
Who's the guy with the key?
Spaggy's Beast Man because he's into bestiality.
Fuck you. Ram Man looking motherfucker.
I'll take it.
Rightio, Spanky. Balls and Holes, what would you ask for?
The only thing that impresses fucking hookers is money. That's the only thing that impresses. That's the only thing that impresses a hooker. So I'll just be asking for straight up cash money.
It's not quite a childhood toy, but
you don't grow up in Kiki.
Fair enough. All right. If you were Dipinda, the taxi driver, how would you win Geeta over?
Basically, what I'd do, I'd man up. I'd take her down the ski ball. I'd win the Voltron ring. I'd take her home. I'd jump her into bed. And then I'd be like, hey, do you want to stick it in my marry me?
All right, so not afraid to name drop a little bit, not afraid to use my friends to my advantage. Dipinda and Deadpool, obviously good mates. You'd double date, couple of double dates with Marina and Deadpool, you'd be winning her over like nothing.
Yeah, I had that. I was
thinking that as well.
I was thinking Dipinda leverages relationship with the craziest couple of all time, and yeah, let's just go all the way, four-way. That's it. Get it all in.
Balls all in.
You're not going to get a better offer than that. Superhero and hooker.
Yeah.
And yes, I'm an Uber taxi driver, but hey.
Awesome. Moving us on to our final question. We get treated to a great scene between TJ Miller and Ryan Reynolds where they basically describe what Deadpool looks like. If you've seen the DVD, there's special features where they riff on each other about what each other looks like. for God knows how long. All impromptu, all basically just coming up with the worst things that they can think of. So we're going to throw it out to you guys, let you guys get a bit creative. What does Deadpool look like?
Well, I think he looks like a 13-year-old McDonald's worker with terrible acne fell face first into a three-way between a yeast infection, a taco, and a waffle.
That's a good one. What do you reckon, Spanky?
He looks like a bald man in a gay Bukkake film.
Yeah, that was really good.
How do you follow this, eh? I'm going to play off the fact that he's covered in dimples, and I'm going to say he looks like a golf ball with a rampant herpes infection.
Fuck, Spanky, you nailed that one.
Good work, Spanky. Cool, so anyway, that takes us to the end of our podcast. Thanks again for listening. Usually we do the noob seal of approval on this, but we've got a Nerub and two nerds, so... I mean, come on, we love this movie, didn't we, guys? It was hilarious, it was great. Cheers, Ryan Reynolds, thanks for the show. Any other final thoughts from you guys?
Yeah, and I'm just waiting to see the next one. I think there's only up from here with Deadpool.
One thing that doesn't get a lot of cred in this podcast is the fourth wall breaking. So Deadpool talking directly at the camera. Absolutely love it, and think that looking forward to the next Deadpool movie with Cable.
Yeah. Okay, so basically coming up soon on Nerd vs. Noob is the movie Armageddon. We're going to review that very soon. Hey, did you like our podcast? Did you agree with our answers? Were we right? Were we wrong? Was Spanky a creep? Tell us in the tell us in the comments. Tell us some questions. Tell us movies you'd like to suggest. Anyway, that's thanks from me.
Thanks from me.
Cha-cha.
And the immortal words of Deadpool.
Maximum effort.
This question, like, what the fuck do you say to this shit? The show where we review a movie.
Movies.
Especially Mrs. Cocaine, that got me. I was roped in, I was like, yeah, I'm on board with this lady.
That's how you fucking impress. That's how you impress hookers.
She's got range. I'm going with her.
She certainly does range all over mine.
Yeah, if you turn up looking like a bull sack, you got to have something going for you, and that's.
Have you ever thought about taking several dicks in the mouth?
Because I've got three. And Machu likes him because he gives Machu an uncomfortable boner.
It's not uncomfortable. I'm very comfortable with it, to be fair. He'd need to take a roofie just to masturbate that guy.
Hey, bonus question here. Who would you cast as Cable?
Who the fuck is Cable?